Hello and welcome to the very first Equity Shot, an emergency episode of Equity that we record when big news breaks. Today we're taking a look at the potential massive Amazon and Whole Foods deal. Now this week, Katie Roof is in China and Lindley is currently eating barbecue in Texas. So we brought in one of our absolutely favorite people in the whole world, Jonathan Schieber from TechCrunch, who's currently down in LA. Schiebs, say hi.
Hello.
Now, this deal really apparently came out of left field for a lot of us. $13.7 billion all cash. But as we were just discussing, this is not actually a done deal. There's still a little bit of wiggle room in the contract.
There is. Well, not in the contract, but there's a potential for another bidder to come in. The Whole Foods shareholders need to approve the deal before it can go through. And it needs to be approved by regulators, which could be a sticky wicket for old Amazon.
Did you just use the phrase sticky wicket?
I did just use the phrase sticky wicket. That did just not happened. Remember,
we banned all cricket jokes on the show 3 weeks ago. Sorry. You're a little bit late.
I am out of the loop.
Let's just get into the brass tacks of the deal for everyone who was asleep all day. It is a proposed $13.7 billion takeover of Whole Foods by Amazon. It is the largest deal in history for Amazon by a factor of roughly 13 or 14, depending on how you count. Both the Zappos and Twitch deals were about $1 billion apiece. So this is, you know, far and away a much larger thing. And it's quite large compared to Amazon's cash flow and cash status. But I'm curious, Schieber, off the top, were you surprised that Amazon was going against its history and dropping a much larger check than it ever has in the past for an acquisition?
Well, the asset is so strategic for them. Right. There are so many holes that the Whole Foods deal fills in terms of things that they've been looking to do that they haven't, frankly, done all that well. And it gives them such a nice physical footprint that they can use and leverage to do a lot of the things that they've been looking forward to, frankly, for a very long time. Including drones to humanity.
Yeah, I think the real estate point's really, really good. When I first woke up this morning to this deal occurring, I wasn't really sold on it. I thought it was a bit scattered. I didn't really see the synergies because I was obviously just waking up. But the real estate point is great. Amazon has been working to expand its physical footprint for some time now with experimental stores. They actually opened a bookstore, which I thought was historically hilarious. But now they're picking up, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of locations in relatively, you know, prime areas in urban environments where they both want to increase shipping speed for other goods and also drive a lot more foot traffic. So, you know, I live, this is really embarrassing, about a block from a Whole Foods because I'm a cliche. And I was thinking about how this could impact my life. And if I could get my Amazon packages, for example, shipped to that Whole Foods instead of my house, I would buy more stuff from Amazon because then I don't have to pray that I can come home when the FedEx person comes by because it never happens. But, you know, it's amazing to think about buying a company for its real estate. But at a minimum, that's a big chunk of the potential value, in my view, for Amazon here.
Well, I think there are other benefits as well. It certainly is a shot across the bow for a number of companies that were trying to move into Amazon's lane. We talked a little bit, we've had a lot of crosstalk internally around the Walmart deal that also happened today that would have been perhaps the biggest news story of the day were it not for the Amazon news that broke before it, which, you know, maybe there's some strategic element to Bezos making the announcement today at that time as well. Beyond that, there's I think one point that I wanted to mention that I've been thinking about is the light touch that Amazon has with a lot of its acquisitions. So if you think about Zappos, if you think about Twitch, if you think about many of the other deals that have been done, there's not a lot of interference, let's say, around what the companies are doing. And there could be for a while a sense that Whole Foods, were this deal to go through, would be very much an unchanged company. And Amazon would just be leveraging that back end, that real estate play.
I think that's very interesting, but the way that I think about the deal, much more so than I thought about Twitch when that was consummated, is that this is the potential for Amazon to really leverage something as opposed to let it grow in its nascency. Because Whole Foods isn't exactly a young business. It's not exactly a small business. It has, you know, billions of dollars a quarter in revenue. So I think, especially given the scale of the deal versus Amazon's, you know, prior acquisitions, I wonder if they would take a heavier touch this time and institute more changes. And they'll probably still keep the CEO and say, you know, that person's in charge and they're going to be independent. But I'm not quite sure I'll give it as much credo this time around, just given the amount of cash they're putting out. Because as I found out today, $13.7 billion, if they did pay for it all cash, and they're not going to, they're going to finance a chunk of it, would be a lot of its cash. I mean, Amazon has, I pulled the numbers here, $15.44 billion in cash and equivalents at the end of Q1, and another $6.09 billion in marketable securities. But if they did use all that cash, and they're not going to, they'd be pretty close to the metal. And so the deal feels a lot more expensive in an operational sense, instead of an opportunity value sense, than prior deals. So I don't know, maybe I'm being too pessimistic, but I think they'd want a bit more out of this than a hands-off, send me the numbers at the end of the quarter approach.
I agree with you. There are more strategic advantages to something like this than there were to the Twitch deal. But by the same token, Amazon likes to stay pretty thin and run pretty close to the metal, right? So. Yeah. You think about this as them reinvesting in their business on a strategic sort of plane, then this is just like them reinvesting that money into R&D or whatever else they might be doing. It is a strategic deal in a very real way for them.
And that's why I think from the Amazon side, it makes a heck of a lot of sense. Nothing here from Amazon's perspective is confusing to me once I thought through the deal long enough to get myself time to kind of chew on it. But I'm curious from the Whole Foods side. Up top, you said that the deal could still be rejected by shareholders. And as I looked this morning, Whole Foods shares were only up 27%. Now, that may sound like a lot to everyone out there who just watches their own portfolio, but when you buy another public company, you want to offer a large enough premium to essentially scare off competition by making it expensive, and two, scare off the shareholders of that company by making the premium so large they can't even imagine it going away if the deal falls apart. So it's kind of a game of aggression. And 27% feels, frankly, a little thin to me in this case. And so I'm curious if we're going to see anyone from the Whole Foods side throw up a lot of red flags and say, hey, look, we get it, but you're not going to get us that cheap. And just for a historical note, yesterday, the CEO of Whole Foods, I think I can swear if I'm quoting someone, called a bunch of bankers, quote, greedy bastards for trying to leverage a quick pop on Whole Foods. So kind of a historical irony there. But, you know, is 27% enough, Sheebs? And do you think the shareholders on that side are going to allow this to pass through without demanding a bit more lucre for their time?
Well, there are a few things to consider there. The fact that it's all cash is persuasive on the one hand, bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. But on the other, if it feels a little thin to you, it's probably a little bit thin. Now, the question is, who else could put up that much money and would they do it? Conceivably, you could have a private equity group consortium or a single private equity player come in and try to bid up the price and get it for a bit more money. Or conceivably, you could have Walmart come in with an alternative bid to try and block the deal. But there is so much about this that just makes sense, given Whole Foods' customer base, given Amazon's customer base, given the amount of reach that Amazon would get into the home and the knowledge that it would have about buyers and consumers. It's a pretty amazing deal that I think reshapes a lot of the retail landscape, not just online, but offline as well.
Actually, I was just thinking as you said that, if you took two concentric circles, or two circles, made a Venn diagram out of them and called one of the circles Amazon Prime subscribers and the other circle Whole Foods shoppers, I'm pretty sure the Amazon Prime circle would fit almost entirely under the Whole Foods demographic.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I'm both. I presume you're both, and too many of our friends are both.
Not an Amazon Primer. I actually shop.
What do you do?
I buy local from a Korean grocery store in Koreatown. And
I mean, all of our local bodega, but they don't sell desktop computers and toilet paper. I mean, come on. Amazon's amazing.
I have a low retail footprint, my friend. I want that for nothing. But that said, I think that you are absolutely correct in the kinds of synergies between the two different customers or customer bases. And that to me is really interesting as well. And maybe it's to your point, maybe Amazon already knows everything about these customers, but it's a way to get deeper into the home for Amazon as well, I think. And it gives them a chance to offer up these some of their ancillary services and say, we make things even that much more convenient now that there's a brick and mortar location where you can go for many of these your needs.
Yeah. Before we pivot a bit into how this could impact some smaller companies like startups, I think the smartest take on the entire deal was written actually on your site today by Sarah Perez, who wrote an article on TechCrunch discussing the Amazon and this bit of a race. So for people who don't get quite what that means, it means that Walmart realizes, being the world's largest retailer, that it has to have a much stronger e-commerce presence. And it's buying a lot of companies to try to cobble together a consortium or a group or a cadre, whatever you want, of online entities that will give it a decent footprint in terms of e-commerce to compete with Amazon as more things go online. And at the same time, Amazon is creating its own brands, selling a lot more, you know, middle and low market stuff, trying to build its physical presence. And that's why the Whole Foods deal on the physical side fits in. But what the story really made me think of was who's winning? Who's winning right in this battle? And I think about it in two different lights. So one is, let's presume for some reason the Whole Foods deal completely falls apart. Doesn't happen. Forget about it. It was a blip. Move on. I think Amazon is still ahead of Walmart in that race, even though I couldn't quite tell you why. And then if you add the Whole Foods acquisition in for Amazon, I think it's decidedly ahead. So I think when I consider Amazon's long-term revenue growth potential, this sort of deal contra Walmart makes a lot of sense. And I don't, again, have the best direct path from this deal to longer-term future Amazon, you know, revenue growth, but it just feels right to bridge that online-offline divide, get a bunch more real estate close to its already extant customer base. It just makes sense. But, you know, if you're Walmart, that begs the question, what the heck do you do now? So Sheber, who's also, you didn't know this, the chief strategy officer over at Walmart, is now going to tell us all about Walmart's future strategy.
Well, Walmart's future strategy, I would assume, is to double down on what they've been doing already, which is to make sure that you're pushing the e-commerce acquisitions that you've made and trying to integrate those as fast as possible and trying to pick up as much as you can. What's interesting is to me about the Walmart deal for a second is that the Bonobos customer and the Walmart customer don't have that same sort of overlapping concentric circle. The Bonobos customer seems to me to be a much different customer than the Walmart customer. And Walmart seems to be trying to expand its reach in its online game while maintaining its physical presence and moving up market, if you will. And I wonder what your take is on that, Al.
Well, I think we forgot to mention the price earlier on. Walmart today announced that it's going to buy Bonobos for, oh, Sheba, back me up here, $320 million? Was that the number?
I thought it was 310, but it's somewhere in there. It's sub 350.
We'll call it 310. I trust you more than I trust myself. But I mean, what's interesting is, as you mentioned Walmart going upscale, I mentioned Amazon going middle market. And I think that's the whole story right there. I think Amazon wants everyone to be able to afford Prime eventually, just as Walmart wants to sell higher margin, higher level from, I don't know retail very well, but, you know, upper tier goods, right, viz the Bonobos deal. So if we're seeing them race towards each other at full speed, they're going to eventually collide. But I think Amazon just has a lot more flexibility in terms of its cash position and the fact that it's much more diversified. I mean, again, the joke is that, you know, yesterday they were talking about buying Slack. The media thought so. Today they tried to buy Whole Foods. And at the same time, they're building out server farms. And it's a really odd business. It's hard to fully grok. But again, as I handicap this, to your point, I cannot get away from the idea that Amazon is, you know, far and away winning.
But I have a point that I'd like to make about that. It's difficult for American consumers or U.S. consumers to get their heads around Amazon's strategy. But if you think of this as like total war in some ways, or if you think about this from the perspective of other big e-commerce vendors, it's not so strange. If you look at China, there are examples all over the place of companies that are both online and offline that are in many various varying businesses. Alibaba is the prime example of this, almost the Amazon prime example of this.
There you go.
And I think that, you know, in this instance, you've got a case where Amazon is trying to become more like Alibaba than in the past any other international company trying to become more like a U.S. company. You just see these things more integrated.
So to sum, we have a former U.S. digital bookseller buying a physical retail upper tier grocery store to better hew to the Chinese internet conglomerate model to beat the low cost physical retail provider of most of the United States. It makes perfect sense. I could not be more clear if I tried. jokes aside, I wrote a piece for TC, what feels like a billion years ago now, but it was called The Platform Wars. And it looked at the companies like, you know, Apple and then Google and Microsoft that were looking to expand both horizontally and vertically while leveraging their platforms they have built out. And I really think that I was probably too narrow in how I drew out the argument. I really think this is a good example of kind of a chapter two or a phase two of that same phenomena. And I think to your point, Sheeps, I should be less surprised than I was this morning. Again, it was like 7:10 a.m., so I was rough. But, you know, I mean, I should have been less shocked by it. It should have made more sense. And that actually lets me ask a really hilarious question. If this deal is reasonable and this deal actually makes sense, what's the next deal that looks weird but actually makes a lot of sense that's coming down the pike? I mean, are we going to see – I can't even think of a stupid enough example to be surprising. But, I mean, are we going to see a bit
Apple buying Disney?
No, because that would make Matthew Panzerino so darn happy. That would be he would have like iPhone Disney shoe passes. It would be his entire world in one bucket. That's too nice. But anyways, this is this brings us back from the macro to the micro, and I want to ask you about Instacart, which is the obvious potential victim of this deal. Instacart is a grocery delivery unicorn worth about $2 billion, has raised a boatload of cash from around Silicon Valley, and Whole Foods is an investor in Instacart. And now that Amazon is coming shopping, Amazon of course has a rival grocery delivery service, and so people are curious if Amazon will pull the plug on Instacart or buy Instacart or whatever. But it seems to be at risk. Is that fair?
That is more than fair. We were talking internally on the potential new Amazon platform of Slack and also on Convo about the fact that this could be the last nail in the coffin for Instacart. It could be the death knell. It could be the final blow. It could be the final countdown. It's wow. Really troubling for, I think, a number of Instacart's investors. The company has raised so much money and is sort of stuck between this rock and a hard place around valuation and potential acquisition, potential acquirers that may come out for it, and whether it IPOs, whether it could make it out the door, and if it did, at what price, whether it would be successful. All of these things compound to paint a pretty grim picture for the company. But it's not just Instacart. There are a number of companies that have raised in sort of the online grocery food delivery space that should look at this deal and be very afraid. There are nascent companies, upstart companies like Shipt, which just raised another round of funding, that have tried to tackle the same market with a bit more cash efficiency than Instacart has done. But they're not alone. I think you see across the board, delivery companies should be worried about this.
Yeah, you know, it's really ironic. Over on Crunchbase News, we just did a two-part series on last-mile startups that will do either deliveries or pickups. We kind of broke them into two different categories that way. And I really didn't work on that series, you know, presciently knowing that we were going to be having this argument so soon. But, I mean, I think you're right. And then here's the last thing I want to bring up today before we let everyone go. What's the chance now that instead of buying Instacart, Amazon will make one more deal? Let's say they buy Lyft, just for example, throw something out there. Then they would have both a very large kind of, you know, U.S. class fleet of mobile transportation. They would have the retail locations and physical footprint of Whole Foods and the supply chain and internet structure of Amazon. And at that point, it's really hard for me to figure out how you would take them on because they would have such vertical efficiency and customer knowledge. It would almost be a bit unsettling to watch in terms of their corporate power. I mean, Amazon, I really think, compared to other internet conglomerates, is branching, you know, backwards into the real world. But I'm curious if they have anything more in the tank to buy something like a Lyft, and, you know, if they would have the guts for it.
Well, I think you laid out the possibility of that happening in the near term as being fairly slim, given that this is a huge bite for them to swallow. This Whole Foods is a whole big bite of acquisition for them. And it wouldn't happen in the near term. However, down the road, you could definitely see that as a strategy that they may want to pursue. It does make sense. You're not the first person I've heard float that or seen float that. I believe that someone had mentioned that idea on Twitter as well. Someone smart whose name I forget. It was probably me. It's definitely true that paints a fairly grim picture, and it's worth mentioning that there could be regulatory obstacles to this as well. One hand, there's a lot of antitrust concerns that people have around tech companies these days, that they have too much power, and it's not just Amazon, that extends to Microsoft and Facebook and Apple and Google as well in many cases. Beyond that, there is the sense, and I don't want to make too much of this, but other Bezos properties, the Washington Post, for instance, has not been the nicest to our current commander in chief. And
no, I did read that once.
There's if someone were to be petty and vindictive, and I'm not saying that anyone would be petty and vindictive, but there are regulatory obstacles that could be put in place that could put the kibosh on this deal, potentially.
That is my favorite bit of theorycraft I've heard all day. I didn't think we were going to have a Trump connection on the show today, but you know what? It's 2017, and where there's a Trump, there is a way. That's all the time we have today. Thank you to Jonathan Schieber for coming on the air with us. This is Equity. I'm Alex Wilhelm. Catch you all next Friday.
Thanks so much.
All right, everyone. We want to say a special thanks to our producer, TechCrunch's own Christopher Gates, our executive producer, Henry Pickavet. Thank you to Katie Roof. Thank you to Matthew Lindley. And thank you to you for leaving us that 5-star iTunes review. That's Equity. We'll see you all next Friday.